I am Justin Oldham, and you are listening to an ATS member podcast supported by AboveTopSecret.com. Hey, I just wanted to show you that I can have some fun. Boy, things have just been so serious on AboveTopSecret.com these last few weeks that I feel a need to kind of open the door and step out into the fresh air a little bit. I like a good conspiracy theory just as much as anybody else, but hey, I think that too much of anything is bad for you. So, while I'm taking a breather, I'd like to spend the next 10 minutes talking with you about a wide variety of things that I've just found interesting lately. As I make this recording, the three amigos, the ATS website owners, have just let the cat out of the bag that they've recently received major investor backing so that they can go on to bigger and better things. So my hat's off to them, and congratulations. Websites today now have the potential to be vast multimedia platforms. They don't have to be dull, dry, boring bulletin boards anymore. They can now be massive repositories of audio, video, and text. I've been working with a close personal friend to develop my own website, and he's constantly amazing because we get together by telephone every 2 weeks or so to plot and scheme about what goes on the website next, and his first question is almost always, well, what do you want it to do? Well, shucks, man. I guess I'm showing my age because I predate desktop computers. I went to college with an electric typewriter, and I graduated using a desktop PC. And holy cow, you would talk about primitive. Those early desktop PCs had a massive 64K of RAM. My goodness, what are you going to do with it all? And then, of course, the floppy disks. Good night. 1.4 megs of storage capacity. What are you going to do with it all? My very first computer was a glorified word processor, and now the PC that I'm sitting in front of as I make this recording has enough go juice in it to fly the space shuttle. I'm willing to bet you that as of now, what you think of as AboveTopSecret.com won't exist in 3 years. 3 years from now, it'll be such a vastly different platform you won't recognize it. And speaking of things that we won't recognize, the FBI has recently announced that it's going to start developing an entirely new network of paid informants that'll branch out and cover every state in the union. Now, as a child of the Cold War, I grew up knowing that the FBI had agents all over the place, and they had informants all over the place, too. And so there was a certain unwritten rule that you minded your P's and Q's when you were in public. Most of that good manner stuff went out the door by the mid-1970s, and I don't know if you need an excuse, blame Disco. There was such a backlash against government intrusion by 1975, which I know that to some extent the pot was stirred by the Vietnam War, but for the most part, the average guy had just had enough of Uncle Sam looking over his shoulder. And now it seems we're about to go back to that again. The only difference is now, if you get stopped by a government law enforcement person on the street, they're going to have a mag card reader and they're going to ask to see your ID. Scary stuff to be sure, but I'm hoping that the legal challenges will come early and often, so that this particular federal agency will mind its P's and Q's, and the other intelligence agencies that might be considering the startup of their own networks will think twice. And yes, I know, I'm going to get my wish just as soon as genetically modified pigs are adapted for flight. On a similar note, there's also this business that the Congress has been up to lately. They're passing a new set of recommendations from the 9/11 Commission. They've written new laws to establish new security measures to make us all safer. And tucked away in those laws, you're going to find an informant shield. That informant shield is designed to give stool pigeons prosecutorial immunity when they rat out the terrorists. My only worry is, of course, that this shield is going to be used by other people to do other things. As distressing as all of this is, I'm glad to tell you that there are some really good conversations taking place on AboveTopSecret.com. Going back to this whole multimedia thing, I really was interested in the CNN YouTube debates, which were held with the participation of the Democratic presidential candidates. Now, yes, I know, CNN screened all the questions, and they decided who was going to get to see what video clip, but the responses were fascinating, and more importantly, I really like the idea that the average person can use their cell phone camera to snap off 20 seconds worth of video to ask one of these big-time national celebrities a question. I am a populist at heart, and I just love the way that some of those YouTubers put their questions forward without any frills, and it was just worth a good laugh to see the politicians dodge as usual. And speaking of YouTube, I really do enjoy the fact that you can link those videos into your posts on AboveTopSecret.com. I haven't quite yet managed the basics of digital photography, but I'm getting there, and I've only destroyed one camera during my learning curve. Speaking of learning curves, there are some of you out there right now listening to this recording who think that you can't do this. Well, I can't record, I can't make a podcast, I even sound bad, so why should I want to talk into a microphone? Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. Most of the time, it takes me two or three takes to make this work, and it doesn't matter if I hear myself on radio, television, or even my voice coming out of a handheld tape recorder. I have always thought that my recorded voice makes me sound like Kermit the Frog. I'm pleased to say that, in spite of my inherent clumsiness, audio files are not that hard to generate. One thought occurred to me before I ever started doing this. Actually, what happened was Johnny Anonymous sent me a note and said, "Hey, we've got this ATS Mix project. Would like you to contribute some stuff. Can you make a podcast?" I, of course, being the doofus, I sent him a note and said, "What's a podcast?" Well, he told me, and 3 days later, I went out to buy my microphone, which I have right here, and then I downloaded my software, and I got started. Well, before I got to the point where I was trying to electrocute myself with the microphone, it occurred to me that all of these audio files that you or I or anybody else generate, they could be a sort of low-budget immortality. Because as long as these things exist on some RSS feed somewhere, they could still be circulating around the internet 100 years from now. Can you imagine a college student 200 years from now using the audio files that you generated as part of their multimedia term paper? Now, as you know, the ATS owners have tried to keep every byte of everything that's ever been posted on their site. It's all there so that when you do a keyword search, you can see things that are just years and years and years old. From a historical perspective, I find things like that fascinating. I really do actually like to read stuff posted by members 2, 3, or even 4 years before I started participating on AboveTopSecret.com. As a matter of fact, if there's a grad student out there looking for a project, hey, it might be interesting to look at the old inventory of websites like ATS and do something of a study of the long-term trends in conspiracy thinking. I, for one, would be willing to bet you that there's been a radical shift in ATS content since 9/11. I hope you've enjoyed this mixed assortment of topics with all of the imperfections that have come along with it. If there's anything else you'd like me to talk about, please drop a note and I'll get right on it.